My name is Nobuntu Webster. It's time for Ubuntu Life. Hi, everybody. It is Freedom Month in South Africa. We're celebrating 29 years of democracy, and I wanted to talk to young people, specifically South African young people, as South Africa celebrates 29 years of freedom, having had the first democratic elections on the 27th of April in 1994. I wanted to talk to young people because being a continent that has a population of youth that is over 60%, youth is who we lead and youth is who must lead. So we have to know where their minds are at. We have to know what they're thinking is. We have to know how they define freedom, and we actually have to then together redefine freedom for ourselves as a generation and for the generations that will come after us. I want to ask them to introduce ourselves, and I'm hoping and knowing actually that we're going to have a really, really good conversation. Introduce yourselves to the people.
Hi, people. Hi, guys. My name is Nigilita Mqinwa. I am a politics student. I'm doing my final year at WITS. So, yeah, I'm very politically inclined. I liked your invitation to the podcast. I was like, freedom, okay. I really have to put my opinion there and how I feel about freedom in South Africa and the state of our nation now, how that really resonates with me.
Good. Looking forward to hearing everything you have to say. Yeah.
Okay. Hi, everyone. So my name is Remo Abetswe Tsetlanyane. I am a third year Bachelor of Arts in Law student at the University of Witwatersrand. I am excited to share my opinion on Freedom Day. I'm very much happy to be here, and I'm genuinely so happy about this conversation that's about to happen, and I know we'll have fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I always have fun when I'm with young people, because, you know, I get to feel young.
The young yourself.
You know, I get to be reinvigorated. I'll take it. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I am Usmiso Wabazulu. I am a law graduate and a young professional. I am looking forward to what's going to come out of this conversation. I think it is an important conversation given our current political landscape and the state of affairs in our country. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to start here. I want to start by telling you guys that when we had our first democratic elections in 1994 in South Africa, I was 12 years old.
I wasn't born.
I was already 12 years old. Oh, now, God. I suspect that in the room, there's nobody who was born.
No. Your parents had thought of me.
They thought of you. You were a thought. At least you were a thought. At least you were a thought. So I was 12 years old, and I mean, it was such an exciting time. You guys probably know we talk about it all the time. It was exciting. Even as a kid, you know, you had a sense that something big was happening. Yeah. Something was changing. There was excitement in the air, and there was this new world that was coming and that we expected. And to be honest, that we kind of, some years later, got to start seeing and got to have.
Yeah.
But you guys will have a different experience because you were born into freedom, so to speak. So you were born into democracy. So I want to know from you, what does freedom mean to you? Does any of the history that we have even matter? So does the idea that people couldn't vote before matter? Does the sacrifice that was made because of the struggle matter at all to you guys? Does any of that resonate with you? How do you guys feel about that?
So for me, Freedom Day signifies peace, unity, and the restoration of human dignity. For over 300 years ago in the past, people were oppressed, there was segregation, and there was white minority rule. So as a black young woman today, I can recognize the struggles that people faced in the past, and I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to have such a platform where I'm able to voice my opinion that people in the past did not have. Icons such as Nelson Mandela, Winnie Mandela, just to name a few, are the reasons why I'm able to just sit here with you guys and share my opinion, which in the past people people could not do. Freedom Day is a big day for me now that I'm older, now that I'm a law student and I'm able to understand what it means. And I'm able to understand how everyone was able to vote. It doesn't matter if you're black, if you're white. Finally, people had a voice to say something. People had rights to basic human dignity. They were treated like human beings, you understand? So it is a big thing for me, as I remember like my ancestors and everybody in the past, how they fought, how some people died, the protests. I feel, what can I say? I feel happy. I feel elated to be in such a position where I'm able to recognize them and I'll be able to tell future generations about what happened in the past. So Freedom Day is a big day for me. I try to celebrate it however I can in different ways. So it is an honor and a privilege, and I recognize the importance of that day, honestly.
Sure. And Nicolita, for you?
Freedom Day. Freedom Day for me, honestly. Okay. What I want to actually remove that woke veil, you know?
Yeah.
Guys, no. It's been like, we kind of, I don't know who I can say we owe, but it's like we owe someone or some people some sort of celebration when it comes to this legacy of freedom. You know, true, we got freedom. We didn't have it as black people, but oh, come on, guys. I've lived in a democratic, in a South Africa with freedom, and I don't even have a taste a South Africa without freedom feels or even looks like. So I can't really be like, oh, guys, I'm so happy, you know, but I've got a taste of what we don't have, because you can see and compare with other European countries, Asian countries, how they've advanced, you know. So Freedom Day for me is like just a day where I can just be grateful I'm not at school or I'm not busy with something. That's exactly what it means to me. Because personally, to me, the concept of freedom is, I'm a liberal. I'm a liberal. So as a liberal, I believe in, one, the government, providing resources and meeting citizens such that they can give them what they need to further their wants and needs. You know, everyone equally without everyone, like everyone working together coherently, of course. So the lack of that in our economy, in our society, by our government, it's just, we're not economically free, but we're grateful for that humanitarian freedom they gave us 20, I don't even know that, how many years ago? 29 years ago.
Yeah. Are you free, Smiso?
I'd say to an extent. If we look at the past and now, most people would say, yes, I am free, I guess. But when we then look at our present, in all aspects of our country, the states of affairs of our country, I wouldn't quite say that I am completely free. As a young black female, there are a lot of barriers in place. So I wouldn't say I'm completely free. And just to echo what Nigelita was saying, when it comes to the celebration of Freedom Day, it's all well and good to be celebrating what had been fought for back then. But then when we look at today, what are we celebrating exactly? Because I just feel that the issues that we're facing today have just been repackaged.
Sure.
They've just been repackaged. So, you know, it breaks my heart that there are people who haven't really experienced much of a difference from life back then and life now. So what are we celebrating on Freedom Day? Is there anything to celebrate, if we're being honest? So I get where he comes from. For me personally, Freedom Day isn't much of a factor because of the fact that there's not much that has been done or changed.
Yeah.
There's not much transformation from then and now.
So what would freedom look like for you guys?
Economic freedom. Yeah.
But what does that look like? So talk to me about economic freedom, not as like an abstract concept, as like, what does life look like when there's economic freedom? What does it look like? What's different from what you're seeing today?
Well, as students, I want to speak first from a student point of view. It's the fight for free education. You know, if we could just go to school, because as students, it's all we want. It's all we came to school for, basically, to study. So if you could just go to school without anything hindering us or holding us back or having any other things that we worry of, just go to school, study, get your marks in a nice, quiet, safe, I don't want to say, what's this? my English is losing me. Yeah, in this nice environment, such that we can leave the school having gotten what we wanted.
Sure.
For me, well, I'm doing BA in law, so one of my modules is psychology. And for psychology, we had to write an essay in which black women were the challenges that they would face in construction and mining engineering. And for me, when I had to write the essay, it broke my heart, because while I was researching and finding the statistics of women, firstly, just being a woman in the workplace, you are automatically just... what can I say? It's a stereotype, right? Women are, most companies do not want to employ women because you can fall pregnant, because women are nurturing, which is a good thing, but technically speaking, the work environment, it's not. And as being a black woman, you are so disadvantaged there that you are paid less, that you are expected to work more hours. And as a young black woman who's going out into the career field and into the industry, I wonder, am I going to be affected by this? How can I overcome this? We were instructed to come up with solutions. We were instructed to come up with the challenges that they faced. And writing that as I'm like, I'm celebrating Freedom Day 27 on the 27th, right, of April. But why am I still today having to write down an essay about how women are still facing challenges now, years later, even though we're saying, yes, we're celebrating Freedom Day, yes, we have achieved so much, but are we really free? So it's conversations like that in school that does open my eyes, to be honest, and we still do have a long way to go, honestly speaking.
Yeah, so with you guys talking about being a woman in South Africa and being a black young woman in South Africa, I can't help but also think about safety and the fact that I myself, as a woman in South Africa, don't feel safe.
No.
And I don't feel free because I don't feel safe. You know, I can't jog
at night.
Well, sometimes, you know, I wonder even during the day, you know, the issues of safety in South Africa are so real. And when you travel to other countries, you know, for me, even in other African countries, I feel safer than I do here. Because, you know, we have this violent environment, we have this violent country and violent nation where we have to deal with the fact that you're at risk as soon as you leave your home. In fact, you're at risk even in your home. And so I can't help but think of that, you know, as a woman, and as I'm older and I'm a mother. You know, worrying about the safety of even my children. So Smiso, is that a factor for you as well?
So for me, freedom is a liberated living experience. That's how I would define it. And when you bring in the facts of safety for myself as...
I want to say that again. Freedom is a liberated
living experience.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Thank you. So when you bring in the facts of safety for a woman in South Africa, that freedom is quite restricted. And it's so bad that you find it in such the smallest incidents and experiences. And I'll make an example. I have a very big problem with Uber drivers and Bolt drivers. And I mean, most times it's really just them, to be quite honest. And for me, the fact that you have to think twice before calling someone to order, someone that for the service that you're actually paying for, you have to think twice before you can actually speak up and express your dissatisfaction just because you're afraid of what the retaliation might be, that for me is just scary, to be quite honest. It's quite scary. So it's just in situations like that that you have to think twice before speaking up as a woman, speaking up to a man in South Africa, even if it's, you know, you're paying for a service and you just want to express that you're dissatisfied with the service. So in instances like that, yes, our safety is quite restricted and it is a huge factor in our lives as women in South Africa.
So you're saying that between the three of you, what I'm hearing is freedom is about education. It's about having free education, about having the access to education. Freedom is about access to work opportunities, to economic opportunities, as you've said, a black woman, knowing that you're not unfairly treated, knowing that you have truly equal opportunity in the workplace. And we're talking about safety. And saying freedom is the ability to be safe. I love how you define and to be able to express yourself without fear. Mm-hmm. I love how you express it as a liberated living experience. Mm-hmm. Freedom is a liberated living experience. And that's interesting because a lot of what I hear when it comes to young South Africans is that young South Africans care about things like the land. I want to know, does that mean anything to you? I really just want to know, does this issue of the land mean anything to you?
So for me, I'm going to be very honest. Okay, firstly, are we speaking about land in terms of getting back the land type of?
Yes.
Okay. For me, I'm going to be honest, not necessarily. For me, it's a thing of, let's say we do get back the land. What do we then do with it? Do we know what we're going to be doing with that land? Like, I get the concept behind it, but I just feel that there should also be some precautions with regards to, let's just give back the land and how do we work through that and things alike. But for me as a person, I don't think that it's a huge factor, mm-hmm. but that's also maybe I'm speaking from a place of privilege.
So it doesn't define freedom for you?
It may not for me, but it may for the people who aren't in the best living situation. So that's why I'm saying maybe I'm speaking from a place of privilege, because that conversation of land may be very important to someone who's staying in squatter camps.
When you say that it's important that you it's important that you recognize that it might be from a place of privilege, is it because, do you have land now?
I don't have
land. So how are you privileged?
I just guess I'm saying it because I feel that I am in a more comfortable living condition. My living conditions are more comfortable than the next person, mm-hmm. I would say. So I think I'm speaking from a place of being comfortable and recognizing that I'm quite privileged, as opposed to someone who would be living in rural areas. Not rural areas, but squatter camps rather.
I don't know that people who talk about land are always speaking from a place of, I have nowhere to live, or I don't have a comfortable place to live. At least that's been my observation. Okay. That's why I asked if you have land, because I wanted to know if, as an ideological concept, mm-hmm. it's something that, so you've said you want free education, you want to feel safe, you want equal access to work opportunities as an expression of freedom. Mm-hmm. So I really want to know, given any circumstance, all things being equal, is land an expression of that freedom?
Okay, I think, thanks for that latter explanation. Yeah. When it comes to land, I think it becomes more of a racial argument, since, of course, land was taken from black people during those colonial era and times like that, you know. So then it becomes a matter of, we want the land back because the land is only owned by white people, you know. During apartheid, there were those area acts and stuff like that. So we have minimal, or we've been squashed and put into segregated parts of South Africa, whilst most of the land is owned either by the government, corporates, or by white South Africans. So the matter of land then becomes a matter of, we have to get that land. We have to get access. Okay, Mina, I believe, I've been through politics, philosophy, economics. So when it comes to land, I've sort of found a roundabout on access and ownership. I don't mind not owning land, you know?
Yeah.
As long as I have access. Hmm. And sort of a model that I would like sort of envision for the whole country, you know? If we could all have equal access to land, like mm-hmm. whatever land, corporate, residential, if we could just have access to that land without discrimination or anything like that, if you want to go find yourself living within Sandton or Mlazi or something like that.
And what gives you access?
Access, okay, you know, that becomes then an economic thing that government has to set laws and acts. We'll see. How would someone have to then dictate how they'd have to get access to land?
Oh.
Yeah. But even poor people, people who don't have access, because there's some that own land that we can't even access, Tina. Mm. I really envision a country where all the land in South Africa is available for everyone. And even Africa as a whole, because there's some people in other countries who live in small countries. Now imagine if that country is at war or not at good terms with other countries in Africa. I envision an Africa where you could just freely go to another country and feel, because you were born in Africa, you might as well just feel it's home, you know?
Yeah.
It's what I envision, access.
What a great conversation, guys. It sucks that it was so short. I've had such a good time talking to you. Remo, I want you to, as we wrap up, talk about what your dream is for young South Africans.
Wow.
What do you wish for your generation?
Honestly, I will quote Miss Universe. What's her name? Kana Zozi.
Zozbin Tunes. Exactly. Yeah.
And she said, so she was asked as one of her questions is, what do we think we should be teaching young women today? And she said that we should be teaching young women to cement themselves. That is what I'd like for the youth, to cement themselves, to know that they have a place in this world, to not be afraid to go for what they want, to let their voices be heard through elections, through podcasts, through striking if necessary. But I'd like to say peaceful strikes, okay? We don't condone violence here. But I do want the youth to hunger for more, right? I feel that South Africans are lazy. We want. But for example, if he was white and you are black and I gave you each 500,000 and I said, go live your lives, I would bet that, I said you were white, ne?
Yeah,
I would bet years to come that you would be working for him, and he would be richer than you. Sure. But I gave you guys an equal start in life. It depends on a person. If I give you resources, will you be able to utilize them like greatly? You understand? And for black people, they want, but they don't know how to use the things that they're demanding. I stand to be corrected. Okay. This is just my opinion.
They're gonna come at you.
They are gonna come at you. But it's fine.
They're gonna come at you.
But honestly, you have to be at a place where you're able to use the things that you are demanding. You know what I'm saying? Your experience in whatever you're demanding, and you're actually gonna work hard for it. You know what I'm saying? So also, they did say that if you are rich, give. But if you are poor, work hard also. Don't be saying give. No, you must actually work hard for people to actually be able to help you, you know. So that's just my opinion. Be hungry, people, you know.
Be hungry. So what's the responsibility of freedom? I know that you've said you don't feel like you truly experience freedom in its fullness as a young South African. But if we were to have all these things, or if we were to pursue them that you have said today, that you've all said today, are an expression of freedom, what's the responsibility?
As the person with the freedom?
As young people?
I think, just to echo what Remo said, it's being able, like, knowing how to use that freedom, how to put it to good use, because, and, you know, our current state of our country is a good example. We, in a way, got our freedom, but have you really progressed much from the past? So I think it really is a thing of knowing how to use that freedom, put it to good use for progressiveness, I'd say.
Brilliant. Nikilita, what would you say to young Africans on the continent? What does your future look like? What is freedom? How does freedom play a role in that future?
What does the African youth's future look like?
Yeah.
Given if the trajectory we are on now, it's sustained, guys, I just want to cry, you know. Yeah. But let's have more leaders. Let's have more people who are invested and actually care about our futures, guys. It's our future. So, because I've asked the youth, students, do you care? They're like, I don't care about politics. Politics, I'm not politically. I don't want to even, like, politics cares about you, though. Yeah. You know, politics influences, it affects you. So I just want to say the future is bright. If we dream of a brighter future and we work towards it. Freedom-wise, I just want to say I envision where you can do anything you want. I heard the ladies speak on if you get resources and you want to use it however you like, it's your freedom. As long as it doesn't harm anyone else, if you get 5 million rand and you want to spend it how you like, guys, I want to be free. I want everyone to feel that sort of happiness and freedom that this is yours. Spend it how you want, as long as my expenditure does not mean I'm killing a young child or something like that, you know?
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Pretty, we don't have more time to go into that. Assist me, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Unigelita on the point of... Yeah. Where you feel like the youth aren't really into, you know, taking a stand and being leaders and things alike. What do you feel is the reason behind that? Just from your experience as a leader, a young leader yourself.
Disillusionment, man. the state of the country, we've had elections, democracy. They just don't trust in democracy anymore. We've had democracy in our country for 29 years. You know, that's what Freedom Day is even about. You know, we're rejoicing for that. But we've had it, and we've used the opportunity, or for the youth who haven't really, our parents have, and it's still the same. Or let's say it's getting worse. And they just think talking or voting or deciding or actually caring will not change anything, as it hasn't in the past years and past instances. But the solution is youth leadership. It's the youth caring and being actually there, because we have old people that actually are thinking for themselves. So they have to think about themselves. But us, we have a future to build. So we have to be there in those youth spaces and actually build the future that we care about.
Thank you so much.
Sorry.
You have taken over my podcast. No, go ahead. Yeah, the last one. Yeah.
Well, this can go to anyone. I'm just curious. Do you guys feel that youth have that platform? They actually have. When you speak about access,
I feel like young people have access, and in the event that they didn't, you create access. Oftentimes, leadership won't be given to you, and even the opportunity to lead and to change things is not given to you. We're talking about Freedom Day, and we're talking about the struggles of South Africa, of the previous dispensations in other African countries. And the truth is, in many instances, that freedom had to be taken and grabbed. And you didn't wait for it to be given to you. So my encouragement to young people in South Africa is lead. Don't wait to have a platform. Don't wait to be asked to lead. Just lead. Because this is your country. It's your continent. And to preserve it and to attain that freedom and to grow it, you've got to do it yourself. But thank you. It's been great.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed speaking to young people today. I've enjoyed speaking to South African young people today about their hearts and their minds for South Africa. And I think what I take out of it, most importantly, is that as a generation of leaders today, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to create an environment that is enabling for young people to thrive, for young people to experience freedom, for young people to lead, and to be able to define freedom for their generation and the next generation. It's an important responsibility, and one which we need to take seriously, one which we have to make sure that we take so that we do not let down our generation, this generation, and generations of the future. What's important, though, and what I want to say to young people is that we can never, ever diminish the importance of the role that our predecessors, those who came before us, who fought for freedom in South Africa and other countries on the continent, played. We cannot diminish that. We always have to celebrate that. We always have to honor that, because the freedom they fought for is as important as the freedom we fight for today. So just because now we live in it and we have it, we can't now take it for granted. We've got to appreciate it. Let's build on it, though, and let's experience true and whole freedom as a generation. We have to do it together, and you have to take up your responsibility as well as a generation to lead with us as we take South Africa and the continent of Africa forward. Thank you for being part of the Ubuntu movement. To engage on these and other topics, follow at Ubuntu Live Talk and at Nubuntu Webster on Instagram and Twitter.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.